You have your Bibles, turn with me please to our text this morning, 1 John chapter 2 and verses 3 through 6 as we continue in our series, Living for Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 3. John writes, "We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, 'I know Him,' but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys His word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did." And let's pray. Lord, the world today and the church is desperate today for Christians who are real Christians, who truly follow You, who truly walk with You. I pray, Lord, You just show us this morning, Lord, how we can be that, how we can be those people, especially in these last days. Pray, come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, open Your word and teach us from it exactly what it is You want us to know. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. Last January the 12th, during a blizzard in De Pere, Wisconsin, outside of Green Bay, a 20-year-old college student named Lucy Kurowski was stuck in her car in a snowbank at a strip mall. But then all of a sudden, a guy driving by in his car stopped his car, walked over, and told her that he would get behind her car and try to push her out. And when she looked at him again, she couldn't believe it. It wasn't just some guy. It was Jordan Love, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, who claims over and over again that he's a Christian. One day from the time the Packers were supposed to fly to Dallas for a big playoff game against the Cowboys. And he really didn't have boots or gloves or a real coat, but there he was trying to help some no-name girl. And what if he broke his leg? What if he'd have pulled a hammy? And when she asked him, "Why in the world are you helping me?" You know what he said? That's what Jesus would do. Folks, when it comes to living for Jesus, there's a huge difference between just talking the talk and actually walking the walk. Jordan Love walks the talk, and the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how we can too. We're in a series at Fox River right now, a series called Living for Jesus, looking at what it really means to live for Jesus Christ in these last days before Jesus comes again. So far in this series, we've seen that living for Jesus means having and maintaining a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And today we see that living for Jesus also means walking the talk and living out that personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And to see that, we turn today to 1 John chapter 2 and verses 3 through 6. In this part of 1 John chapter 2, John is telling us what it really means to live for Jesus Christ. And in our text today, he says if you're going to live for Jesus, you've got to live like Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, we're going to live like Jesus. We not only need to do the talking, we also need to do the walking too, just like Jesus did. Our text this morning, 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6, tells us three things that we need to do to walk the talk and live like Jesus Christ. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to walk the talk, we need to understand that we're supposed to. And that's exactly what John is telling us here in verses 3 through 6. Because Christianity isn't just something that you know. It's also supposed to be something that you do. It's not just trusting in Jesus, it's living for Jesus. It's not just believing in Jesus, it's behaving like Jesus. Amen. So I don't care if you can sing like Lauren Daigle, or preach like Tony Evans, or teach like David Jeremiah, or counsel like Joyce Meyer. I don't care how many Bible verses you can spout on your Instagram page. Don't tell me you're a Christian by what you say, show me you're a Christian by what you do. Because the proof ain't in the pudding, it's in the doing. It's not about the talking, it's all about the walking. And that's exactly what the Bible tells us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, walk worthy of the calling that you have received. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, watch your doctrine closely and your life too. Verse 6 here, walk like Jesus did. And what that simply means is, if you're a Christian, you ought to act like it. Amen. You say, well, Kevin, I know Jesus, I love Jesus, but I don't want Him running my life. No, no. That's all a part of the deal. You get saved by Jesus, then you live for Jesus. Jesus gave all of His life for you. You give all of your life for Him. Not just on Sunday mornings when we're here all in our places with bright, shiny faces. 24/7, 365. Because a part-time Christian can't beat a full-time devil or serve a full-time Savior. Last January the 27th, a driver's ed teacher named William Sweet in Chattanooga, Tennessee, got arrested for DUI. A driver's ed teacher. Doing something that driver's ed teachers shouldn't be doing. Christians, let me ask you, are we doing things that Christians shouldn't be doing? Because that word Christians in the Greek literally means little Christs. So let me ask you, when people look at you, do they see Jesus? And what they see, does it make them want Jesus? That's why verse 6 here says we must. Not it'd be nice or it'd be a good idea. We must walk like Jesus did. Because verse 3, we don't walk like Jesus did, we don't obey Him, then we don't know Him. Amen. You say, but Kevin, we're sinners. Yeah, that's why John says here, verses 1 and 2, God put His own Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross to be the atoning sacrifice for our sin, to pay the price for our sin, and to save us from it. But here's the kicker. Salvation ain't just supposed to save you, it's also supposed to change you. Catherine von Dreckenberg grew up in Mexico, the daughter of missionaries. And she got big time into the occult and witchcraft. Eventually moved to Hollywood, became a celebrity tattoo artist with her own reality show called L.A. Inc. She called herself Kat Von D, so popular she had 9 million followers on Twitter. But because of the witchcraft and the occult and drinking and alcoholism, her life was an absolute mess until last October when Kat Von D turned to Jesus Christ and got saved. And she got baptized, Switzerland Baptist Church, tiny little Vive, Indiana. She left Hollywood. The drinking is gone. The witchcraft is gone. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. Walking like Jesus did. So folks, the goal is not perfection. Walking is about the direction, the general direction that you're going. So when you sin, because you will, and I will too, you take that sin, you confess it to the Lord, you take it to the cross, you leave it there, and you keep walking. Don't walk on by. Don't walk in the wild side. Don't walk like an Egyptian. Walk like Jesus did. Do we understand that we're supposed to walk like Jesus did? Now, the world today doesn't accept that at all. C.J. Stroud is a Rookie of the Year quarterback for the Houston Texans. And last January the 13th, the Texans beat the Cleveland Browns for their first playoff win in franchise history. And after that game was over, C.J. Stroud was interviewed by NBC. This video shows you what NBC broadcast from that video, followed by what C.J. Stroud actually said during the interview.
Up. Season and a record-setting performance for you. What does this moment mean?
I mean, it's been amazing being in this city for as short as I've been.
First and foremost, I just want to give all glory and praise to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's been amazing.
NBC edited a 3-second reference to Jesus. See what I mean? Rapper Lil Nas X now has a video out for his song called J Christ, where he's made up to look like Jesus Christ hanging on the cross. Folks, this is the same rapper who came out with the so-called Satan shoes and also has a video of him giving a lap dance to the devil. That's not what it means to walk like Jesus did. That's mocking. That's mocking Jesus Christ. Rapper Cardi B said this, I know Jesus. I love Him. I know Him and I love Him. And if I was to see Him right now, I would give Him a big hug and kiss His feet. I love Him so much. But folks, rapper Cardi B also has songs like Ice Cream and Nasty Girl and the WAP song. I can't even read the lyrics to you because we're in a church right now. Amen. Verse 4, he who claims to know Him and does not obey Him is a liar and the truth is not in him. That's what you call a hypocrite. Christians, let me ask you, are we hypocrites? Are we really walking the talk and living it out like we're supposed to? Last week, I was stopped at a traffic light in Ottawa, and a woman in front of me was on her cell phone, wasn't even paying attention. And all of a sudden, the light turned green, and she didn't move because she didn't even notice it. I said, come on, because I'm always in a hurry everywhere I go. Come on, let's go. What are you waiting for, another shade of green? She never moved. She never lifted up, and the light turned red again. And folks, I exploded. The windows were up. I was screaming and yelling, pounding on my steering wheel. I was having a conniption fit. And then all of a sudden I heard this noise. I looked over and there's a cop right next to my car with a gun drawn. Tapping on the window telling me I'm under arrest. And I said, you can't arrest me for yelling in my car. I guess I was wrong. 2 hours later, he comes back to the holding cell and he says, you're free to go. I said, I told you you couldn't arrest me for yelling in my car. He said, I didn't arrest you for yelling in your car. I was right behind you at that traffic light. And I saw you having a fit inside your car, mad at the woman in front of you. And I thought, what a jerk. But then I noticed the cross hanging from your rearview mirror. And the bumper sticker that says, Jesus is coming soon. And the words on your license plate that say, choose life. And because of the way you were acting, I just figured your car was stolen. Christians, are we really walking the talk? Are we really walking the talk? And I know somebody here today, you say, well, Kevin, how do you know, though? How do you know with somebody if it's really real? August of 2007, after a Sunday morning worship service here at Fox River, Usher came up to me and said, there's a guy here named Don Beebe that wants to talk to you. And I thought, Don Beebe, the only Don Beebe I know, played in the NFL. Well, come to find out it was him. And come to find out he had a family, and they were living outside of Yorkville, and he was coaching football at Aurora Christian High School. I didn't know any of that. And that morning I had preached about God speaking to Elijah in the still small voice. And I told everybody here, get quiet and listen to what God is speaking to you in the still small voice. And Don Beebe said that God said to him, he and his family were supposed to come to this church. And they've been here ever since. December of that year, 2007, Don Beebe volunteered to take over our youth group for a while. Anybody volunteers to do something at Fox River, I got to check him out. So I had to know, is this guy all blow and no show? Is he all hat and no cattle? So I asked his wife, Diana, I said, is he really for real? She said, 100%. A perfect? Of course not, because none of us are perfect. But Don Beebe understands what a personal relationship is with Jesus Christ. And he also understands that personal relationship with Jesus Christ is the number one most important thing in your entire life. And in the 17 years I've known him, he's shown that to me over and over and over again. Won 2 state football championships at Aurora Christian High School, 2011 and 2012. And every interview I ever heard him give, he always mentioned the Lord and gave God the glory. 2018, after that season, he took over as head coach at Aurora University. Don Beebe's first year there, he led Aurora University to the school's very first appearance in a playoff. Second year, 2022, he led him to the second round of the playoffs and had us baptize 19 of his football players in the Fox River over there by Sheridan. Last year, 2023, he took him to the second round of the playoffs against University of Wisconsin at La Crosse. And how do I really know that his relationship with Jesus Christ is for real? Because, folks, Don Beebe is hyper, uber, ultra competitive. That whole family is like that. And he didn't work his butt off as a player, and he doesn't work his butt off as a coach to lose. He wants to win. You play to win. The goal is to win. And as a coach, he wants that even more for his players. But folks, Aurora University lost that playoff game to University of Wisconsin across 56-35. And after that game was over, during the post-game press conference, Don Beebe was asked what it's like to lose a game like that. This is what he said. I'm not here to win football games. Win or lose, I'm here to represent Jesus Christ and to lead young men to him. Now, the media and the reporters in that room that day didn't have a clue what he meant. But he did. And I do too. How do you know when a person's relationship is really real? You'll know it when they walk it and not just talk it. When they live it. It'll show up, not just by what they say, but even more importantly, by what they do. Christians, we got to do the walking along with the talking. But we will never ever do that until we first of all understand that we're supposed to. The first thing that we need to do in order to walk the talk, we need to understand we're supposed to do it. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to walk the talk. We not only need to understand that we're supposed to do it, we also need to understand how we're supposed to do it. And that's also what John is telling us here in verses 3-6. Because we can't live like Jesus solo. We cannot do this on our own. And God never intended us to. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit to do it through us. Colossians chapter 1 verse 29. So walking like Jesus did means walking in the Spirit, listening to his voice and drawing on his power to do what he tells us to do. Every single one of us Christians, Galatians 5:17, has two different natures inside of us. We got that old sinful nature, and we got the brand new spiritual nature that we got at salvation. And every single day, they're duking it out inside of us. And whichever one wins depends on which one we feed the most. So the more time you spend in prayer, the more time you spend in the Word, the more time you spend with the Lord, the closer you are to Jesus, the better we can walk like Jesus. So how do we walk like Jesus did? We walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Galatians 5:17. Super Bowl today, two different quarterbacks. For the Kansas City Chiefs, it's Patrick Mahomes. Born again and Spirit-filled when he was 12 years old. But Patrick Mahomes marched with Black Lives Matter. And Patrick Mahomes pushed a lot of the stupid, woke, racist claptrap that you see in the NFL today. And Patrick Mahomes shacked up with his girlfriend, Brittany Matthews. And they had a baby together. Then finally, February the 21st, 2021, they got married. And I'm glad they got married, but okay, trigger warning. I'm going to say something here that a lot of people in America today think is horribly judgmental and intolerant and hateful. So everybody just get ready for it. Write it down if you plan on writing me an email about it. Doesn't the Bible say that you're supposed to get married first and then live together and then make the babies? That's what you call talking the talk, but not walking the walk. Quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers is Brock Purdy. He's engaged to his girlfriend, Jenna Brandt. But you know what? They're not living together. Because Brock Purdy lives in an apartment in San Francisco with one of his teammates. And whenever the San Francisco 49ers get downtime, Brock Purdy isn't bar hopping and clubbing like all the other players. He stays home and does Bible studies with other Christians on his team like Christian McCaffrey and Charlie Werner. That's what you call talking the talk and walking the walk. The picture you see on the screen is an actress named Gabrielle Anwar. And she was asked last week what the best decision was she ever made in her acting career. You know what she said it was? Turning down the role of Rose in the movie Titanic in 1997. Turning it down because she turned down that role. Kate Winslet took it and made $2 million and got nominations for Academy Awards. That movie made Kate Winslet's career. That movie could have made Gabrielle Anwar's career too, but she turned it down. And you know why she did? Because Gabrielle Anwar is a Christian. And she said she was not going to take her clothes off and go naked to do the sex scenes in that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, you honor God with your body. Gabrielle Anwar, the best actress in the history of the whole wide world that nobody has ever heard of. That's what you call walking the walk, no matter what it costs you. Billy Graham says there's three things that you need to do to live for Jesus Christ in the world. There's three things you need to have: integrity, integrity, and integrity. Married couples, are you putting the boundaries around your marriage to protect it? Because studies show one out of every six people everywhere you go want to hook up with you. You protecting your marriage? I never meet with another woman by myself. Sue knows what I'm doing and where I'm at 24/7, 365. I purposely do not have a phone that can connect to the internet. My wife can check my laptop computer at home anytime she wants. Linda Ness, Kathy Sandus, our media people, can check the two computers I use here at church every single time they want to. It's called accountability. And why? Because my number one job at Fox River is to stay faithful to him and to stay faithful to her. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the ties that bind. Because she's mine. I walk the line. And I try to walk like Jesus did. Integrity. You know what integrity means? It means you actually do what you say you're going to do. Do you know how many people in our world, heaven's sakes, you know how many people in the church today don't actually do what they say they're going to do? People have asked me before, Kevin, why do you use a lot of the same people all the time to do things here at Fox River? You know why? Because I know they'll do them. This guy right here, Mike Hart. I could ask him to do something 10 years from today. In those 10 years, I wouldn't have to call him again. I would never have to remind him of it. 10 years to the day, he would be here and do it. And if he wasn't here, I'd know that he was dead. People ask me the question, Kevin, what is it like being a pastor? You know what it's like being a pastor? Being a pastor is people making you 1,000 promises they have no intention of keeping. You sign up, you show up. You say you're going to do it, you do it. Integrity. Christians, do we have it? Are we walking like Jesus did? Because listen to me, we don't walk like Jesus did. We don't walk according to the Spirit. You're going to be walking according to the flesh, which means we're going to disobey God. And we're not going to be honest. We're not going to tell the truth. We're going to hold grudges instead of forgiving people. We're not going to show joy. We're never going to smile. Are you hearing this, Kevin? 3 out of 4 people in America today who call themselves Christians shack up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. 3 out of 4. You say, well, Kevin, there's nothing wrong with it. The Bible says it is wrong. It's a sin called fornication. Couples who shack up together are 33 times more likely to get a divorce than couples who don't. One of the reasons God says not to. You don't just shack up with a person you can live with. You marry the person that you can't live without, the one that God provides for you. 14-year-old girls in the church today who call themselves Christian taking pictures of their TNA and sending them to some guy online because they're too stupid to understand their value is not in how they look. First of all, it's wrong to send pictures like that or to ask for pictures like that to start with. Second of all, it's wrong to send those pictures because you're causing people to lust whoever looking at it. And third, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. It's not a strip club. This girl right here, Tally Eichelberg, would you stand up? Everybody take a look at her. This girl is absolutely gorgeous. And I don't know one guy in the world that wouldn't want her. But notice, she's not just body parts. She's not just eye candy. She's not a naval observatory. She's a person. And she's got a brain and a personality. And she's got a heart. So guys, you're not going to get this. You're not even going to see this until you convince this, win this, and put a ring on this. Then you can have it. Okay. You send pictures to somebody, you've got no idea where those pictures are going. You've got no idea how they're going to be used, and they never go away. 17-year-old Brandon Guffey, Rockland, South Carolina, born-again Christian, honor student, going to go to college to be a teacher. Last July the 27th, he just got home from a Bible camp. 2:30 that next morning, all of a sudden he gets a text from a hot-looking college girl from North Carolina. Started talking to her, started flirting back and forth. All of a sudden, 45 minutes later, she's sending him nudes. Asked him to send her some too. So we did. The very nanosecond, he hit the send button. All of a sudden, hot college girl turns into 3 guys from India demanding he give them $200 or they're going to send his pictures to all of his contacts. That kid spent 1.5 hours trying to scrape up all the money he could. He only had $50. The guys from India said that's not enough. So he went and got his dad's Glock 43, walked into the bathroom, shot himself in the head, and committed suicide. You don't look like Jesus did. You don't live like Jesus. You don't walk according to the Spirit. You're going to walk according to the flesh. And Romans chapter 8, verse 13, those who live according to the flesh will die. Amen. And I know there's young people here in this sermon right now. You say, but Kevin, everybody else is doing it. For the love of God, so what? So what if everybody else is doing it? Last July, at a town called Gavos, outside of the town in eastern Turkey, all of a sudden, one sheep from a flock of 1,500 walked over to the edge of a steep cliff and just jumped off. Jumped to its death. And then a second sheep from the flock walked to the exact same spot, exact same, and did the exact same thing, jumped to its death. And then a third, and a fourth, and a fifth. And the shepherd sat there absolutely stunned as 1,500 sheep behind him did exactly the same thing. Jumping from exactly the same spot. All told, 1,050 of those sheep were killed. 450 of them lived. The ones that live, of course, the ones that jump later, and their fall was cushioned by the piles of the dead bodies of the sheep that jumped before them. But can you imagine the peer pressure? That very last sheep standing there looking over that, thinking, well, 1,499 other sheep can't be wrong, can they? Everybody else is doing it is not a reason to do anything. You don't follow the herd. You follow the shepherd. You walk like Jesus walked. And Christians, if we're going to walk like Jesus walked, that means we got to walk in love. We got to show love, no matter how hard it may be. November 1992 to August of 1993, I did an internship at Faith Lutheran Church out in Palmer, Iowa, with a pastor named Mark Noreen, who was the only pastor in a 100-mile radius out there who was preaching the gospel. And one of my jobs as an intern was to go visit all the shut-ins from the church who were in all the different nursing homes and all the different towns around there. And one of those nursing homes was the Pocahontas Manor in the town of Pocahontas, because we had a church member there named Tina Sirks, 98 years old. Alzheimer's so bad, the poor thing, she couldn't even talk. She didn't even know you were there, so about the only thing you could do is go pray over her, and that was about it. But when I was in seminary, they told me every time you go to a nursing home, every time you go to a hospital, try to reach out to the person's roommate. But the problem was, Tina Sirks' roommate was absolutely the meanest, nastiest, little old battle axe lady I have ever met in my entire life. Her name was Rose Green. She was about 170 years old. She was barely 5 feet tall, and she was in a wheelchair because her legs didn't work. Either that or somebody hid her broom and wouldn't give it to her. You would walk into Pocahontas Manor, you could hear that woman going off on somebody, you could hear it all over the building. First day I ever met her, I walked in the room, she said, "Who are you and what are you doing here?" I said, "Well, I'm a pastor, I came here to see Tina Sirks." Chewed me up one side and down the other. And I told her, I said, "Well, you know, can I share some scripture with you? Something from Psalm 23, you know Psalm 23. The woman frightened me, and I'm not afraid of nothing. I even took Pastor Noreen with me there one day. She did exactly the same thing. It got to the point every time you'd go to Pocahontas Manor, you would pray that Rose Green had died, or that she wouldn't be in that room, or that something had happened to her. But she was always in that room chewing nails. At first I thought maybe Rose Green was possessed by a demon spirit. Then I thought maybe a demon spirit had been possessed by Rose Green. Nasty woman. She told me she didn't want anything to do with God and that she hated God, because she said God killed the only thing she ever really loved in the whole wide world, and that was her first husband. And I don't know what it was about her, but she had this really bad odor. So every time you got close to her, you wanted to light a match. Meanest, nastiest, smelliest old battle axe I have ever met in my entire life. Totally unreachable. People, if anybody was going to hell for sure, it was Rose Green. Well, come Christmas time, that church had a tradition of going Christmas caroling and all the nursing homes where all the church members were, which meant we had to go to Pocahontas Manor to see Tina Sirks. And it was about 20 people from our church and me, and of course I was supposed to lead the way. So when we got there, of course, we went down every hallway except for Tina Sirks' hallway. Finally, we had to go down Tina's hallway. And all the while we're walking to that room, I am praying to God, please don't let Rose Green be in there. God, please don't let Rose Green be in there. Told everybody to stop outside the room. I went and I peeked around the corner. Sure enough, there was Rose Green sitting in that wheelchair, bigger than life. And I turned around to the people and I said, "You ain't seen the like of this woman, because she is hell on wheels. You've got to be very, very careful what you say, or she will bite your head off." And one of the people that we had with us that night was little 5-year-old Molly Keel, along with her parents. And all of a sudden we realized Molly wasn't anywhere to be found. She had gone into that room by herself. And we just knew that Rose Green was going to eat her. So we busted in that room, turned around the corner, and absolutely could not believe what we saw. Little 5-year-old Molly Keel walked up to that battle axe in her wheelchair, crawled up in that old woman's lap, kissed her on the cheek, and said, "We love you, Rose." And we watched the heart of the meanest, nastiest, smelliest old woman we have ever seen in our entire lives melt right in front of our very eyes. And after she got done crying, then she was ready to hear about Jesus. And why? Because she didn't need somebody just talking about him to her. She needed somebody showing him to her. Not just the talking, most importantly, the walking. Christians, we're going to walk like Jesus did. We need to walk in love. By the power of the Holy Spirit, walk in love. How? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, because Christ loved us. The second thing we need to do in order to walk the talk, we need to understand how we're supposed to do it. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to walk the talk. We not only need to understand that we're supposed to do it, we not only need to understand how we're supposed to do it, third, we need to understand why we're supposed to do it. And that's also what John is telling us here in verses 3 through 6. And the why is very simple. John chapter 16, verse 13, the Holy Spirit testifies to the truth. We Christians have the Holy Spirit inside of us, and we're walking in the Holy Spirit. So we testify and stand up for the truth too. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. But the problem is, the church today, instead of testifying to the world, they're just becoming more and more like the world. Because the spirit of the age is compromise. And especially when it comes to LGBTQ. United Methodist Church has already lost one out of every five congregations in America because they won't quit drinking the rainbow Kool-Aid. Fuller Seminary, a bastion of evangelicalism for decades, is now, quote unquote, rethinking their position on biblical sexuality and gender. That's code for caving. Famous Bible teacher Beth Moore has wandered so far off the reservation now. She says that any Christian who thinks homosexuality is a sin is a hyper-fundamentalist. Talk about selling out. Even the old dinosaurs are caving. Alistair Begg, longtime pastor of Parkside Church in Cleveland, Ohio, speaks all over Kingdom Come on thousands and thousands of Christian radio stations all over the world. Last September, he was taking questions from callers on a Christian talk show. And a grandma called in and asked him, her grandson was going to marry a transgender, wanted him to come to the wedding. Was it okay for her to go to the wedding? This is what Alistair Begg said. I asked the grandmother, does your grandson understand your belief in Jesus? She said, yes. Does your grandson understand that your belief in Jesus makes you believe that the wedding is wrong? She said, yes. Alistair Begg said this, okay, as long as he knows that, then I suggest that you do go to the ceremony, and I suggest that you also buy them a gift. If I have to go down on one side of this, I'll go down on the side of compassion. And he said, anybody who disagrees with him is a Pharisee. First of all, Christians, you can't go to gay weddings. Because a wedding is supposed to be the celebration of a union of a man and a woman that God is joining together. And gay weddings don't do that. A gay wedding is a fake wedding. It's an abomination to God. What if that grandson invited his grandmother to a satanic human sacrifice? Well, as long as he knows that you think is wrong, yeah, go ahead and go and take a gift. Christians, we go to a gay wedding, we are implying that we approve of what's happening there, and we don't. And we're also implying that God approves of what's happening there, and God don't either. I'm not a big-time famous preacher like Alistair Begg, but I do know what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6, real love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. The only consideration is not how the relative feels about it, it's only what God's Word says about it. We please Him more than anybody else. You were called to change the world, Alistair Begg, and for 50 years you have, but now you're starting to let the world change you. One more example, the Laodicean church in the last days, getting ready to serve the Antichrist when he comes any second. Keep walking like Jesus did, people. Keep standing up for the truth, because the number one characteristic of the last days is what? It's deception. And people, it is everywhere. The left says Donald Trump's speech on January the 6th incited an insurrection.
I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard.
That sound like insurrection to you? Case closed. The left says absolutely no evidence whatsoever that there was any widespread fraud in the 2020 election. Are you kidding me? Folks, every one of us saw it. Election night, November 3rd, 2020, something that has never happened before in the history of this country. All swing states all of a sudden stopped counting their votes at exactly the same time of the night. Then in Wisconsin, between 3:30 and 4:30 a.m., 140,000 mail-in ballots came in, all for Joe Biden, not one for Donald Trump. In Michigan, between 3:30 and 5 a.m., 200,000 mail-in ballots came in, all for Joe Biden, none for Donald Trump. in Pennsylvania, between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m., 1 million ballots came in for Joe Biden, all for Joe Biden, not one single vote for Donald Trump, and no investigation whatsoever. We got 10,000 illegal aliens in America now, and all kinds of left-wing nut organizations trying to get them registered to vote without requiring any proof of U.S. legal citizenship at all. Remember years ago when state after state after state started pushing legislation to give illegals driver's licenses? And then they pushed legislation to make the driver's license of the illegals look exactly like driver's licenses of legal U.S. citizens? Because they know a lot of people use their driver's license so they could... You don't think this whole thing was coordinated from the start? But no, we should have complete and total confidence in our election process. See the video of the illegal.
This video doorbell footage shows a migrant stealing a pro-Israel flag from a Jewish family's Long Island home. And one of the members of this family, by the way, lost a relative in the October 7th terrorist attack by Hamas. And there you see this individual taking that pro-Israel flag. That homeowner rushed to get his flag back, but the migrant immediately began punching him in the head. You see it there. Put him in a chokehold, headbutted him at least once, that's all according to the homeowner, and threw him to the ground.
Pro-Palestinian migrant from North Africa. But see, the left tells us all the illegal immigrants in America, they're just dreamers. They're just asylum. They're just here for a better life for themselves and their family. You say anything about it, you're just a white supremacist. They're lying to you people. They're gaslighting you. The NFL today is playing the so-called black national anthem before the start of the Super Bowl to reinforce the lie that there's two different Americas, one for black people, one for white people. You know what the official beer of the NFL still is? It's still Bud Light. The NFL running all kinds of ads and promos for the vaccine, for the clot shot, because, hey, it's safe and effective, right? Ask that girl, 13-year-old girl named Maddie, who volunteered to take two doses of the Pfizer vaccine back in 2021 as part of a vaccine trial. Totally normal, perfectly healthy, 13-year-old girl. That's what she's like now.
When she was in her hospital stay in April, they treated her horribly. Like, they treated her like a crazy person. And at that point, I knew. Plus, she wasn't getting better.
Maddie was rushed to the ER 9 times. By the time she was hospitalized for the 3rd time, she had heart problems, seizures, was passing out, vomiting, Maddie, unable to swallow, and was fed Maddie through a tube. She was in the hospital that time for a month and a half.
Hey, welcome back.
I need to take this out. Okay.
Help. Studies are conducted to identify and investigate any health risks. Maddie's reaction was a giant red flag for Pfizer's vaccine. But the Daguerres say those involved seem more interested in blaming Maddie's illnesses on anything but the obvious culprit. While Maddie was fighting for her life, the FDA granted emergency use of Pfizer's vaccine for kids as young as age 12 based on the study Maddie took part in.
In spite of her case and thousands of other cases of vaccine injuries, the FDA still went ahead and officially approved that vaccine for all kids in America ages 12 to 15. Even though people were dying, even though vaccines are totally unnecessary for kids that age. My God, people, you talk about evil. But see, you say that, you get fact checks, the kingdom come. Folks, if Jesus Christ came back to earth tomorrow, Joe Biden would blame Donald Trump. All the news of it would be immediately censored by Facebook and Twitter, and the YouTube fact checkers would refer everybody to the CDC website and government warnings about global warming. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, do not let anyone deceive you. So keep standing up for truth, Christians. Keep standing up for truth. Because believe it or not, that standing up is winning. Here at the start of the 4th year of the Big Brother administration, it's coming out over and over again. Absolutely everything the left told us was an absolute lie, and everything that we said that they labeled misinformation and a debunked conspiracy theory is proven to be true. Last month, the World Health Organization finally admitted that that COVID virus probably did come from the lab in Wuhan, China, just like we said all along. They said hydroxychloroquine would kill you. They said ivermectin was horse medicine. Today, both of those things are officially approved by the FDA as treatment for COVID, just like we said they should have been. The left screamed about asymptomatic spread, the reason for the whole lockdown to begin with. May of 2022, the CDC admitted there was no asymptomatic spread, which means all those lockdowns were completely and totally unnecessary. The left came out with the 6-foot socialist distancing circles, the stupid circles that people stood in on the floor. When Dr. Fauci was asked, where was that 6-foot standard come from? This is what he said. I don't know. It just kind of showed up. But hey, at least they got what they wanted, right? People standing 6 foot apart, 666. They said the COVID vaccine would keep you from getting COVID. It would keep you from spreading it. It would keep you from dying from it. Lie, lie, lie. May of 2022, Pfizer admitted the vaccine wasn't even developed to stop the spread. And the vast majority of people who died from COVID and who are still dying today from COVID are vaxxed to the max. Remember all the snowflakes that said because you weren't vaccinated, somehow you were going to infect them, even though they were vaccinated? That's like saying if this guy doesn't wear deodorant, somehow it's going to hurt her, even though she is wearing deodorant. Her deodorant isn't going to work because he's not wearing it. Do we see how ridiculous that is? And the vaccine is safe and effective. In a pig's eye, 15 million excess deaths so far and counting. People who die suddenly. But see, the vaccine wasn't supposed to be safe and effective. It was only supposed to be mandatory. And all you COVIDian Christians who worship government over God and told us unvaccinated Christians that we were murderers, and that we wanted to kill grandma, and we weren't really following Jesus, we're still waiting for our apology. The left is gaslighting you about climate change because there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever anywhere that CO2 is actually causing the planet to heat up. Data shows Earth warmed up between the 1940s and 1970s when there wasn't any real rise in CO2 levels at all. And the hottest summer on record is still 1934 when almost 90% of Americans never owned any fossil fuel vehicles. Carbon dioxide is part of a cycle of life that God created. All carbon-based living things breathe out CO2. Then plants and trees use the CO2 to make oxygen that we need to breathe again. If CO2 is really a pollutant, why did they try to force you to wear a COVID mask and make you breathe in CO2 directly? And the left is using all the lies about climate change to take away your rights and your gas stove and your leaf blower and destroy your standard of living and use carbon footprint trackers to know how much carbon you're producing so they can punish you and cut off your digital currency and implement the Agenda 2030 in 15-minute cities and make you eat bugs so they can enslave the entire planet. Last month at the World Economic Forum annual meeting in Davos, so-called climate czar John Kerry actually said this: we have to stop all farming, otherwise people are going to starve. Wrap your brain around that for a second. Folks, they're gaslighting you about transgenderism, one of the most evil things that's ever come along in the history of this country, telling you there's a difference between sex and gender, and that your gender was assigned by a doctor when you were born. Your gender wasn't assigned by a doctor when you were born. Your gender was assigned by God at the moment of conception. And there's no such thing as a transgender person. Every single cell in your body either has XX chromosomes if you're a girl or XY chromosomes if you're a guy, and nothing in the whole wide world will ever change that. The left goes on and on about supposedly transgendered young people. Almost half of them are depressed and suicidal. You would be too if you constantly had people telling you that you were a freak of nature and living in the wrong body. And how do we know that transgenderism is really a hoax? Because last month, Johns Hopkins again sent out another report that again proves that the people who go through the transgender surgeries and procedures are more depressed and more suicidal afterwards than before. And why is that? Because after they have the surgery done, they realize they really couldn't change their gender, and all the damage and all the mutilation that's been done to their bodies is totally irreversible. Folks, transgenderism is a lie from the devil, straight from the pits of hell. And I could go on and on. But do you know why all these lies are being exposed right now? Do you know why all this truth is now coming out right now? Because of you. Because of you Christians. Committed to the truth and committed to Jesus Christ. Sick and tired of being lied to and gaslit and betrayed by your leaders and by leftists and socialists and globalists who are hell-bent on taking away all your God-given rights and freedoms and taking this country, the United States of America, the greatest country in the history of the whole wide world, and turning it into a third-world socialist hellhole. So you decided to heck with this. You were going to stand up and fight and pray because this isn't just wrong, it's evil. Folks, the enemy is not just flesh and blood. It's spiritual forces in high places. You stand with Jesus Christ in the light, you're going to fight against the devil in the darkness. So you didn't just go along to get along. You didn't just shut up and line up and jab up. You didn't wear a mask when you went to Walmart. You didn't get one of those clot shots at Walgreens. And you came back to church because Fox River Church didn't close for 25 years and make people mask up like the Revenge of the Mummy. We had one parking lot service out there. After that, we decided, the heck with this. We have a building. And it's not only God's house, it's our house. We bought it, we built it, we paid for it. And J.B. Pritzker can't do one blessed thing to keep us from using it. We opened up again Mother's Day 2020. We've been open ever since. We are never going to close again for anything until Jesus comes back. And you went to the protests and you kept calling your representatives and you did your homework and you did your research and you went to the town council meetings. You went to the school board meetings and you spoke and you kept speaking even when people were shooting you daggers. Even when they pretended like they weren't listening to you. Even when they cut off your microphone. You kept speaking because God is going to have a testimony to the truth in this generation. You stood up and said, I will not wear your mask. I will not take your jab. I will not download your app. I will not eat your bugs. I will not go to your camp. I will not give up my gun. I will not renounce my God. Because it is for freedom that Jesus set us free. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8, we can do nothing against the truth, but only for the truth. Walk with Jesus. Walk like Jesus did in your shoes. So we serve notice on the devil today. These shoes are made for walking. And that's just what they'll do. In these last days, these shoes are going to walk all over you. You walk with Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this morning. Are you really walking with Jesus? Are you really walking like Jesus? There's unbelievers in this room right now listening to the sermon. You're not walking with Jesus because you're not saved. If you're not walking according to the Spirit, the only alternative, you're walking according to the flesh. If you're not walking with Jesus, the only alternative, you're walking with the devil. And I guarantee you, you're not going to like where he's taking you because that's hell. Very nanosecond this service is over with, you get up out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, find somebody to pray with. You confess your sins to God, put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take those sins away, and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to be your Savior. Like God wants you to. There's Christians listening to this sermon right now. Are you really walking with Jesus Christ? Are you really walking the walk that Jesus wants you to? Are you really walking like Him? Or is it all talk and no walk at all? Well, you got a lot of people fooled. Got your parents fooled, your spouse, the friends, all the people here at church. You maybe even have me fooled. But you can't fool God. He knows what's going on in here. Are you for real? You say, Kevin, I got sin in my life. Surprise, we all do. That doesn't take God by surprise. Amen. Christianity is not about being perfect and following a bunch of rules. Christianity is about being forgiven and following Jesus. So I don't care what is that sin in your life right now that's keeping you from walking like Jesus did. Today you get up out of your seat, you come to the front of this church, and you leave it there at the foot of the cross. And then you leave this church today and you keep walking. I don't care how down or depressed you may be, you keep walking. I don't care what kind of problems or feelings with that you're dealing with today. I don't care what's going on in your family, the problems at work or school, problems with money, problems with your health. You keep on walking. Even if the left and the devil and the world is attacking you, trying to take you out and take you down, you keep on walking. Because listen to me, no time at all, that trumpet's going to sound. And Jesus is going to come and it's going to be all over. Redeem the time, Christians, and keep on walking.